my soul where this old world may go. But what I see on the news today, I'm not weeping with regret. I have chosen not to fret about this ever-changing world and its ways. But I've put my attention on that heavenly intervention that brought me out of darkness into the light. It's not mind over matter. It's more than worthless chatter. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ.
I still have a Bible, my guide to survival that brought me to this place. I still believe in Christian. Old time predictions are the answer for this modern day. Old saints are still praying, and sinners who were straying are receiving God's saving grace. Yes, the old rugged cross.
Across the nations and proving that he is still the same today. There's not a different approach. It remains as he wrote, and it can't be explained away. They may say my convictions and this old-time religion must all be
Hello, everybody. What's happening, 12th Street? Nothing. Okay, nothing. So we got the beautiful opportunity to go and encourage and be encouraged by our friends over at Galilee Baptist Church. And that's the only reason I'm wearing a jacket today. Okay? That's right. But I got some compliments on it, so I think I'm just going to wear a jacket every day, right? No, I'm kidding. It's very restrictive, because you know I'm... Anyways. Today's a special day. Baptism. A little one is professing her faith in Christ. Okay, so we're going to speed through these announcements, because I can't wait to see that, okay? So I hope you're excited as well. But before we get started, let's go to our God and Father in prayer and ask him to bless today, okay? Father God, you and you alone are amazing. You're so incredible that we can't even comprehend who you are unless you condescended. And you did that. And so we know you as you've revealed yourself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And we have life because your life has entered us because of your Son's sacrifice on the cross, his rising again, and this precious gift of salvation by your grace. Through faith, we've received your Holy Spirit. God, this is the best story ever. Best story ever. And so we're meeting together today. I pray that you'll bless every part of this service. I believe you will. I pray that you'll soften hearts to your word. I believe you will. I pray that we'll rejoice and celebrate over Katie's baptism today. We will. And you'll get the glory because Katie's talking about you today. She's trusted you. And she's ready to let everybody else know that she's walking with you. So, Lord, help us to encourage her and walk with her, support her walk with you. God, grow our community in some kind of special way that we would rely on one another. I pray and I trust you'll do that. And you're doing it even now. Help me get out of the way of your work. Help me to get on board with what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Announcements here. Easter Sunday, 12th Street will be serving breakfast on Easter Sunday morning. Amen. That's right, praise God. April 21st at 10 a.m., so there'll be no Sunday school classes. Okay, I hope you've signed up. Easter egg hunt, an Easter egg hunt on Saturday the 20th at 3 p.m., donation for prizes and candy. I appreciate it. Hopefully you've given already. Also, murder mystery dinner. Come up here May 11th. Check that out. Okay. And then also, for those who are playing softball this season, we're asking that those men meet up here after Thaddeus closes the session in the sermon, that we'd meet up here. So if you're playing softball, let's meet up here and we'll have a discussion about the great things to come, okay? And then also Good Friday service at 7 p.m. April 19th, okay? Good. So with that being said, let's take care of business here. I want you all to think of this way, okay? We all sit in the same places, and Brother Ray challenged us some time ago to sit with somebody we don't normally sit with. And I'm not going to make you do that again. I'm so happy for the people that did. But what I would like to encourage you to do today is I want you to go and intentionally find somebody you don't normally talk to. Maybe you're nervous to talk to. I know some people don't like doing that, but take a risk, a relational risk for Christ today. Go reach somebody and say, welcome. God bless you. You can even say something canned, like, hey, it's good to see you. Okay, autopilot. I'm not worried about that. I just want us to connect, okay? Cool. Very cool. All right. Father God, thank you so much for our time together as friends, as family. God, we're going to be witnessing a profession from a young lady today, and I love her family so much. They've been a blessing, and they've been growing, and your work is evident in her life. And so I just rejoice today and I say thank you so much for what you're doing. And Katie, use her in a powerful way, God. Bless our people. Give us a love and a concern for one another. Help us to take risks to reach one another. Help me to take a risk to reach people. For your glory and our benefit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, reach somebody. Say hello, good morning. God loves you. I hope you don't know him. Go talk to somebody you don't know. Reach the other side of the room.
Should be warmer, but we're good. Right, if we could find our seats, please. If everybody could find their seats. Well, this morning we have the privilege of helping Katie Brock to take a step of obedience in her faith to the Lord Jesus. Now, before we baptize Katie, I just want to explain to you real quick why we're doing this. We aren't doing this so that Katie can be saved. She has already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And because she has done that, what we are doing this morning is we are helping her to show her faith to all of you. So as Katie stands here in the water, she is making a symbol of what she believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. She believes that Jesus died on the cross for her sins. And as she stands in the water, she's making a cross with the water. In just a minute, I'm going to dunk her under the water. I won't hold you under for too long, though, okay? And when she goes under, she's showing that she believes that Jesus was buried. And I won't hold her under long. Jesus was there 3 days, 3 nights. We'll do a little bit shorter than that. And we're going to show that Jesus rose again from the grave by taking her up out of the water. It also shows that Katie believes that her sins have been nailed to the cross. They've been buried. Jesus said he buried them in the deepest ocean. And then when we bring her up out of the water, we're showing that Katie is a new person in Jesus Christ. Katie told me that she's really nervous, so I'm going to talk for her. Is that okay, Katie? Yeah, all right. So Katie told me that a few weeks ago, she had come from school. There were some troubles at school, and she had some apologies to make. And as she talked with her mom, the biggest apology she realized she needed to make was to Jesus Christ. And it was through that experience that Katie came to trust Jesus as her Savior. So you know what, parents? I want to encourage you, every opportunity you get, use it as an opportunity to teach your kids about the Lord. Because this is how Katie came to know the Lord. So David and Jackie Brock are her parents. And praise the Lord that they were faithful in speaking to her. So Katie, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
And Katie, based upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father. Go ahead and grab my arm, okay? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's pray for Katie. Lord God, we thank you so much that Katie has taken this step of obedience. And I pray now that you will be with David and with Jackie and with the entire family, Lord, as they try to encourage her to take more steps in obedience to you. And I pray that as a church family, that 12th Street will gather around them and help them as they try to guide Katie in every way that you want her to go. And Lord, I pray that today would be the first of many wonderful steps she takes in being an obedient child to you. It is done as you have commanded this morning, and yet there is room. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
right, will you stand with us as we sing him? Sing Crown Him Majesty.
Has no place at at the sound of your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Although we find their strength at the sun your great name, hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. Sick are healed, and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. All the world will praise your great name. Your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, my Savior, Defender, you are my
should bow at your name. Father, we just pray that this morning you'd be with our pastor as he comes, Lord. And we just pray that our hearts are prepared for the message that he's got for us. Father, we just pray you forgive us where we failed you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and for bringing us here to worship you. And Lord, as we worship you, we worship you in our singing and our listening to the message, but also in our tithes. Lord, we just ask that you guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm not going to sing. It's okay. Yeah. All right. So this morning, we are going to tell you about our trip that we, our missions trip that we were able to take. And real quickly, I'm going to summarize with the help of my family the trip. And then my daughters are going to share, and then Rachel will share how God used them and how God spoke to them on the trip. And then we're going to show you a 8-minute video, but it's got a whole bunch of stuff in there. So we started the trip on Saturday. Sunday was busy. We got up early. We got to church. The service was supposed to start at 11:20, or 11, I mean. I think it started at 11:20, but it got done at 2:20. And I only preached for about 25 minutes. So, but it was wonderful. We had a great time with that service. And then we had a potluck afterward. And why don't you share a little bit about the potluck real quickly?
Well, I did not know what chicken foot soup was. So, chicken and goat soup, excuse me, but there's a chicken foot at the bottom of my soup bowl. But it was really nice fellowshipping with all of the people. Different food and, like, different atmosphere. My sisters and I spent most of the time in the potluck playing with the young girls, getting to know them and just loving on them the way that we would love on other people here. So it was really cool.
Yep, we gotta keep it.
Part of the potluck, this soup, I got a chicken kidney. And it was just, like, really interesting to see how everybody, like, everything seemed to be a lot slower. Everybody was a lot more relaxed, and it was just really nice.
I didn't get anything really cool like that. I got a little chicken finger, but she got a whole foot, so. It was a lot of fun. It was definitely a different experience than our typical church services. It was, like Leah said, a lot more relaxed, and I had a lot of fun hanging out and just getting to know the children there.
And the only thing I'll say about the potluck is it's very humbling when people who have nothing roll, give you everything they got. And just, you know, as some of you saw our photos online, they used cinder blocks and fire with the pots to make all the food. And people brought food in, just like good Baptists do. And then they made up to-go plates for everyone. And sent, so not one piece of rice was spared because they sent everybody home with dinner that night. And just a blessing to be included and welcomed into that.
So at 3:45, we had to hurry out because the pastor had a wedding at 4. And so we crashed a Jamaican wedding. And then during the service, the pastor said, "Pastor Stout from the United States, why don't you come up and ask a blessing on the couple?" So I got to participate in a Jamaican wedding. That was pretty neat. And then we, Sunday evening service, we spent at another church. And it was really rainy and stormy that night. And there were probably only 15, 20 people that came out. But I just thought, wow, they walked here. We had a ride here. And so that was a blessing. On Monday, we went to two schools in the morning. The first school we went to had 1,000 kids in it. And the second school that we went to had about 30. And the girls shared the gospel. They'll tell you about that in a second. And then Monday evening, we did a worship conference. And Rachel will talk more about that. Then Tuesday, we did two more schools. And then after we got done with the second school, we went and did a, is that the day we did the convalescent home? No. Then we, that evening, we did another worship conference. And when we say worship conference, three and a half hours of teaching where they'll tell more about it. Then on Wednesday, we did two more schools. And then we went to a convalescent home. It's called a police convalescent home. They're injured policemen. And so we went and we just ministered to them. The girls played their instruments. I brought an encouraging word from the scripture. And we just tried to love on them for a while. And then Wednesday night, Rachel, surprised, she wasn't prepared. She was asked to speak for some ladies. And so Rachel, she did it. Praise God. And that night I spoke to, there were six pastors and 12 church representatives from 12 different churches at the conference, and I taught them how to do counseling, So a lot of them have never really had any kind of formal education other than a year of just Bible training. And so they were really appreciative. I left some tools in their hands that they could continue to use. And then on Thursday, we didn't have anything until the concert in the evening. And so the pastor found a hotel that he does weddings at quite often, and we had the whole beach to ourselves. And so that was kind of nice. It was cloudy and rainy, but we were outside. It was 86 degrees, so we weren't going to complain. And so we enjoyed our time there. And then the evening, we had a wonderful concert where the people from the worship workshops during the week, they all got to play. And for many of them, that was their first public performance because they had never played an instrument before that week. And so it was really neat. You'll see some video of that. And then Friday, we got to relax a little bit. And Saturday, we came back home. And so they did get to go. Our girls got to go parasailing on Friday. That was kind of cool. So, Rachel, why don't you talk about the worship conference a little bit?
Again, just a very humbling experience. If you can imagine, the church structures there have been erected by missionaries who come in, groups who come in, groups who contribute. And so they're basically cinder block structures. The $2,000 that you supplied 12th Street is going to help one of the churches that we're at complete their electrical, because right now it's just extension cords. And
so that, we have some pictures of the...
So basically it's just, even the ceiling fans that are hanging look like they're zip tied together with electrical cords, and it's just working.
And if
around.
You look closely, they're not really electrical cords. They took extension cords, cut the ends off, and tied them together.
So the money that you provided will help them get that done correctly. And so we're really glad for that. So in these churches, some missionary at some point will have donated like a small electric keyboard or maybe a bass or maybe a guitar. But nobody in the church plays anything. They're very oral tradition. They got their tambourines. You know, they sing a cappella. It's a great time. I loved the music. But the goal was to come in and say, first of all, what do you play? So this conference that we ran, it was a two-night, and we had a percussionist, guitar, keyboard. I believe God had Kayla take a keyboard class at KVCC this year specifically for this trip. So, and then I was also working with vocals, teaching how to sing harmony by ear, and doing some guitar. And the goal was not to teach them how to read music. They don't have a lot of written music. The goal was, what are the names of the notes in the piano? And when, because they have internet on their phones, if you look up the chords to a song that you love and you see that online, how do you make that happen on your instrument? And then also they had never thought of the concept of tuning a stringed instrument like a guitar to the right notes. So we left them all with all the tuners they would need for the guitars, taught them how to use those tools. The bass player had never, he made me cry on the concert. He said, I've had my bass for 5 years. Other people have come in and played it. In two nights, I learned how to play my bass. And I took a lead from Paul Eggers when he stuck those stickers on his bass to teach him where the notes were. I brought that for him and for, you know, whoever else would show up. So you're going to hear in this video that we play, you're going to hear it's a little rough around the edges, but we learned the key of G. So we learned G, C, D, E minor, A minor. Okay, and then we learned the key of B flat, so we actually got into the black notes, and like Kayla would tell you, that takes a whole semester at KVCC, and we tried to do that in two nights of our worship conference, but all in all, like when I approached this trip, I didn't originally think that what I was doing was really worth it, you know, but the Lord just really laid on me in 2 Chronicles, if you read through there, He ordains and selects people to play skillfully and to sing skillfully. And the Lord loves music. And so I just thought, okay, Lord, just like use the talents that you've given our family and help us to equip these churches to give them some skill and to, from here, be able to go forth, hopefully now when they look at their phone and they see those chords online, that they can begin to play those things in their churches.
All right, girls, why don't you talk real quickly, highlight of the trip.
Well, my highlight of the trip would be between the schools we did and the worship seminars. I think I enjoyed the worship seminars a bit more just because I've always, wanted to try and teach. It's something I think I might want to pursue, especially after this. The first night when we, you know, broke into our pods, I was given three people who wanted to learn drum set. And I was, like, so ready. I was like, okay, we're going to learn 6-8 and 4-4 and 3-4, and we're going to learn, like, all this stuff, and it's going to be amazing. And the first night, I couldn't get them to play, like, a basic beat. So I was like, okay, I have to back up. So I did, and the second night went a lot better. We broke down the song Jesus Paid It All piece by piece. And at the concert, one of my students, her name was Nikki. She was a very sweet girl. In the beginning, she wasn't able to play a basic rock beat, and on the last night, she got it, and I was so happy. And it's just the greatest feeling. Like, it's not even like, oh, I taught them how to. No, it's not that. It's they can do something now that they weren't able to before, and they can use this skill now. So that was the most rewarding part of the trip for me.
My favorite part about our trip was the schools. I loved seeing how each and every school is different. Each school had a different philosophy, and everybody had something, like every school had something different, and they added to our experience. I really enjoyed the first school that we went to, which was 1,000 students. I really enjoyed it because in the center of the whole entire school district was this tree, and the tree was giant. It was so beautiful. And not only that, it had little Bible verses scattered all around it and on little boards. And that's something that we would never, ever see here. And it's just so amazing that they're allowed to do that still and that they have the opportunity to teach their students that. And it's really cool.
Well, they both stole mine, so I'm going to kind of piggyback off Jenna. I taught keyboard, and I've been taking a keyboarding class at KVCC for the past 13 weeks, and my job was to teach people who had no knowledge of a keyboard at all how to play it in 2 nights and teach them everything I learned in 13 weeks in 2 days. So God told me, okay, I quickly discovered I'm not a teacher. But he gave me enough patience to teach them enough so that they could play the notes along with us at the concert. And one of my students, quote unquote, a lady has been trying to play keyboard for a little while, but she had, because they played by ear, they would sing a pitch in their head and then try to find it on the keyboard. She said, I know the chords now. And she said, I'm going to be practicing. And then someday when you come back, you better come back. I'm going to make you proud. So that was really rewarding.
And so at the concert, we were able to, one of the pastors, he played keyboard already. He was one of the younger pastors. And he also wanted to learn guitar. So he learned guitar in the 2 nights, 6 hours of training. And so before we left, we gave him our guitar, and he was just blown away that he now has the instrument to go play. And so that was pretty neat. At the concert, we were able to take the wireless microphone system that is now illegal here in the States and that you so graciously said that we could bring and donate to the churches in Jamaica. We were able to give those away that night, and it is literally going to change some of their abilities to Pastor Watson, he's who we stayed with all week. He did all the groundwork, set everything up for us. He and his wife, Lana, they'll be in the very last. He'll be in a lot of the pictures, but he's in the very last picture that you'll see in the video. We stayed at their house. They were so gracious. But we used that wireless system everywhere we went. He already had a speaker, portable speaker system. Now he has this portable microphone system. And he's so excited because he goes to the schools once a month right now. He rotates through the schools. And he goes to the convalescent home every week. And he's like, now I've got a wireless system that I can just take with me and just go speak and minister. And he was just so excited for it. And so he wanted me to express to you on behalf of all of the pastors that we were able to share those with, thank you for your generosity in providing those wireless systems because they were a huge, huge help. So at this time, we're going to play the video. And then after that, children, pay attention. We got something special for all of you kids.
you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelt in you. So here is what the flute sounds like when you have wind blowing into it. So does anybody know like how I made those pitches with my fingers? I put down on the keys and
learn how to play the right notes. We learned these things called scales, which are patterns for musical notes. So I'm going to play a scale for you now. Leah showed us the verse in James 2:26. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. These works are the good things that God wants to teach us so that we can please him. Just like learning how to push the right buttons at the right time to make music, God wants us to learn how to do the right things that please him. In Matthew 22:36, it says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest. When our life isn't playing the tune Jesus wants, then we don't feel very precious. And when we don't feel precious, we might sound a little bit like we're a badly played violin.
Badly played.
Badly played. So that's not pretty.
When we aren't being obedient to the Lord, we don't feel very valuable. We are valuable in the hands of Jesus. When our lives are obedient to him, he produces a sweet music in our lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
So as praise team leaders, you are the ones that are chosen to expressly help the congregation bring praise and worth to God.
We all love music. Maybe you just enjoy listening to the radio. You just enjoy music. We have to really exercise our minds to think about who our audience is. And it's not the people in the congregation. That is not your audience. Your audience is the Lord.
Kayla is yelling out the chords there.
concert here. They're playing all the instrumentation.
Sing with me how
So 12th Street Baptist Church, thank you for allowing us to minister to the people in Jamaica. It was truly a blessing to be able to do that, and they wanted us to let you know, thank you for letting us come and for helping provide the funds for us to be there, because it was truly a blessing, so thank you. All right, today is Palm Sunday. Today is a day where we remember where Jesus entered into Jerusalem to great fanfare, where the people, they took palm branches, they took their coats, and they threw them before him, and they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, as we dismiss to Children's Church, I'm going to invite all the kids to come right up here. You should have palm branches. Come on up here. And as the children are going to march out to Children's Church, you can stand right down there. That'll be fine. We're going to take a little circle around the auditorium while some music plays. And we're going to do what they did in on the first Palm Sunday when Jesus came to town in Jerusalem. The music will start in just a second, all right? All right, follow Mrs. Headley here.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the heart.
Glory, glory.
right, as our children head out, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Matthew chapter 21 and let's look at what happened on that Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a day where Jesus told two of his disciples to go and they'll find a donkey tied up and with the donkey a baby and to untie them. And when anyone asks you what you're doing, just say the master has need of them. And so two of his disciples went, they took the donkey, brought it to Jesus. Jesus got on the baby and rode. No one had ever ridden on it before. It wasn't a little baby, it was a mature. And Jesus rode it into town. And as he did, they took their palm branches, they took their coats, and threw it before him. And let's read verse, before we read that, there was a boy who was sick in his family, so he didn't get to go to church. And his family came home with palm branches in their hands from the church service. And they explained that when Jesus went by, the people took their palm branches, waved them over Jesus, and then laid them down for him to ride over as he passed by. The boy said, "Wouldn't you know it, the one Sunday Jesus shows up to church and I miss it." He should be here every Sunday, right? All right, sorry, that's a bad joke. Well, today's been pretty neat. We've had a baptism today. And every time we have a baptism, it's so awesome because we see obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what took place in Jerusalem on that day should have been obedience to God. But what happened was there was just a lot of lip service being paid to the King of Kings. And so if you'll stand with me as I read Matthew 21, verses 5 through 9, it says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and put them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord God, I pray that you would bless your word in our hearts and in our doing this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing that we see in this passage is pretty neat in verse 5. It says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek." Meek. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was prophesied. In fact, that quote in verse 5, it comes from the Old Testament, from both Isaiah 62 and Zechariah 9. Both of them prophesy that Jesus would be coming and that the Messiah would come through the gates of Jerusalem riding on a donkey and that the people would celebrate him. So this is a fulfillment of prophecy, but yet how does he enter? He enters with meekness. This word meek, it's a really powerful word. When we think of the word meek, we usually think of low, humble. But this word meek, here's what it really means. It means power under control. That's what that word meek means. Has anybody here ever seen Ben-Hur? Anybody see Ben-Hur? All right. There's a new one too, so, if you're not so old, but there is a new one made. All right, Ben-Hur, there's this scene where they're doing chariot races. The horses that the riders are controlling are meek because they have extraordinary power. But their power is under the control of a little bit in their mouth, controlled by a rider that's a fraction of their size with a fraction of their strength. But those horses submit to that power. When it tells us here that the King of Zion comes meek, he is power under control. Think about the power that Jesus had. Before he has entered into Jerusalem this way, he spent time healing their sick. A man had a withered hand, born that way. And Jesus said, reach out, stretch out your arm. And he stretched it out, and his arm went whoop, and was made whole, normal. If I was sitting there, I'd be like, whoa! You know what the people did? Can't believe you'd heal somebody on the Sabbath day. Thought you loved God. Another man was blind. In fact, Jesus healed several blind people. One guy, he spit into some clay, rubbed it on the guy's eyes, said, go wash it off. When we washed it off, he could see. They got mad at Jesus that day too. Other blind, he just said, your sight is restored, and they could see. Some of them, they had legs that they could not walk, and he just said to them, get up, take your bed, walk, and they jumped. I mean, for someone who has never walked before, not only to be able to stand up, but to jump, and then to run. This is like a bigger miracle than any of us give it credit for. Because even if we had never been able to walk before, and we finally, our legs were healthy enough, we would have to learn how to walk. Anybody here ever have back surgery and you had to learn how to rewalk? Leg surgery, have to learn how to rewalk? These people had never walked. Jesus said, get up, take your bed, walk. And boom, they're not just walking, they're running and jumping. He has all the power. He's on a boat and he's asleep and there's this storm and the disciples are like, we're going to die. So they run down, they're like, Jesus, wake up, we're going to die. He's like, what? He walks out to the boat. Peace be still. Everything's still. Power. There were demons. The disciples themselves could not throw those demons out. They tried. And Jesus, he says to them, get out of here. Woo! They get out. Why? Power. And you know, for our sin, if the payment for sin was between him and the devil, he would have just gone and whooped the devil's butt. Okay? If the payment for sin was the devil had to be beaten, then he would have just gone and done it because he had all the power. But here's the thing about his power. His power was greatest when he was meek, when he brought it under control. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that he was very God, but he humbled himself. And he took on a form lower than the angels. That's us. He took on human form. Not only that, but the one who created everything, the one who had all power, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. This is power under control. For the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, when he says, I will submit to death. Why would the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, submit to death? Because the ransom for our sin was not made through defeating the devil. The ransom for our sin never was owed to the devil. The ransom for our sin is owed to God. Because we are sinners. Every single one of us. We're just born that way. We don't try to be that way. We didn't want to be that way. I've met very few people that are like, man, I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be bad. No, we don't want to be. But we are. We're born with a condition. It's called the sin condition. And every human that's ever been born had that condition except for one, and that was Jesus, because Jesus didn't have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father. He was one with God. And so when he came, he was different because he was power. Under control. And since you and I are born sinners, if we die as sinners, we will be separated from God forever. And now here's where his meek comes through. He knew that the only way that God could be satisfied, because no other could offer a sacrifice that could take care of our condition. So God himself said, I will send my only begotten Son. And he will die. And when he dies, having all the power, he will offer a perfect sacrifice for all sin ever committed, for every person who's ever lived. And if you just trust in what Jesus Christ has done through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, you don't have to worry about being separated from God forever. Now you can be assured that you will spend eternity with him in heaven. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. God has staked his very person on that. Because he said that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you are whosoever, I am whosoever, believeth in him, should not perish, should not be separated from God, but shall have everlasting life. This is power under control. As he rides into Jerusalem, here's what Jesus knows. He knows that in a week, less than a week, the people will be crying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The same people that drop their palm branches, take off their coat, and lay it in front of him and call him Hosanna, who call him King, they will be the same people who will be screaming out, crucify him, crucify him, in just a few short days. And he knows this. But he is power under control. He is meek because he says, I am going to offer myself. I will die for them anyway because I love them. That is power under control. That is meekness. See, as Jesus rides in, we like to see the triumph of the entry. We like to see, yes, finally, somebody is recognizing that he is the king. But the greatest thing about his entry was he's meek. When they arrested him, and when they took him to the cross, when they were beating him, he could have called a legion of angels. He could have called 10,000 angels to come down and free him. In fact, he didn't even need the angels. He could have just said, hey, you, fall down dead. You, because when they came to arrest him, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward to the ground. He had all the power. They could not arrest him unless he was meek, unless he was power under control. Whose life are you under control? Your own? You hoping that a church can do something for you? A religion? Denomination. I can't do anything for you. I'm sorry. I wish I could. But I'm really glad that I can't. Because I'm not meek. I am not power under control. But Lord Jesus is. And he has done everything for you so that you could spend eternity with him. And he wants you to trust him. He is not weak because he is weak. He is meek because he carries the power of God under control in his own body, and he humbly rides into town on a donkey. So now the second thing we need to see is, here's what the people said. In verse 9, it says, and the multitudes that went before him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That word Hosanna is an important word, just like meek was an important word. Hosanna is a really important word, because here's what Hosanna means. It means, oh, save. Oh, save. It's a statement of adoration. So later on today, the Detroit Pistons will play a playoff game for the first time in a while, right? And they're going to introduce the players. They're playing in Milwaukee, so the Milwaukee players will get the biggest cheering. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to say a player's name. I can't even say the player's name for Milwaukee. Atentateko or whatever. Anyway, yeah. And they're going to announce him. And when they do, all the crowd is going to start just screaming and just going nuts at the sound of his name. Because they're hoping that he will save them on the basketball court and deliver a victory. Okay, folks. Now, 18,000 or 20,000, whatever people will pack into the arena. I think it's the Kohl Center in Milwaukee today. And they're going to scream these guys' names. Oh, they're not calling him Hosanna, but they might as well be. And then we have this meek Savior who has all the power in the universe. And we can say, Hosanna. Oh, save. But we do it like the people of Jesus' day did it. Because here's when they did it. When everybody else got excited about it. What happened there that day was a supernatural moving of the Holy Spirit. Because you have all these people who are just going about their daily business, and they see Jesus riding on this donkey, and all of a sudden it's just like something just sparks inside of them, and they actually just kind of lose control, and they're just like they're cutting off palm branches, and they're taking their coats, and they're just like, woo! They're cheering them on. Hosanna! Oh, save! Oh, save! Oh, save! And then just a few days later on Thursday, crucify him! Crucify him! Because once again, they get caught up in the moment. And if the Milwaukee Bucks lose to the Detroit Pistons today, you know what the crowd in Milwaukee will do at the end of the game? Because number one seed will have lost to number eight seed. They'll boo those players. You know why? Because this is who we are. And God expects something different from us as his people. We should cry, oh, save, with adoration. But it needs to be with a different heart. We need this cry today. Save us from our sin. Save us from ourselves. Save us from the enemy. Save us from the prince and the power of the air. Save us from the dark and evil world. Hosanna, we admire you. You are the one. Save us. We can't stop here. We have to read the next couple verses. Verse 10. When he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I mean, they're like saying all the right things. This is he. Now, he's more than the prophet. He was the one who saves, right? But now watch what Jesus does. Does he like sit there and, woo, yeah, give it up, give it up? Right? That's not what he does. It's almost as if he doesn't hear the crowd. It's almost as if he doesn't even care what they're saying. Verse 12, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So let's close with this morning. As we cry, Hosanna, oh save. And we sang some great songs about the name of the Lord today. And our God, His name is great, isn't it? There's no name like Jesus. No other name saves. No other name heals. No other name brings peace and comfort. No other name brings salvation. It's Jesus. But we can't be a people who make his house a den of thieves. So here's how we do that today. Here's what they did. They took and they sold the items that were used for sacrifice. They made it easy for the people, so they didn't have to go through any hardships. So they could just go to the temple, buy what they needed to offer sacrifice. It was all about convenience. I mean, they're no different than we are. You know, you go to McDonald's, and if they take 3 minutes to make your burger, you're mad, right? You're like pounding on the countertop. I want my food! I came to fast food, not slow food, right? I mean, that's what we do. So they just made it convenient. You could come in, buy your stuff, and pff, no problem, you're out of here. Where the whole idea of sacrifice for sin was supposed to be reflective, contemplative, and difficult. To understand that there would be a true sacrifice made for their sin. Jesus goes into that temple. He doesn't need to hear the cry, oh save, oh save, oh save. And he sees past the words that we say. I don't know how many people have told me, well, I prayed the prayer, so I'm saved. I'm sorry, but praying a prayer doesn't save you. I don't know that prayer. I wish I knew that prayer. But that prayer doesn't exist because it's not just the words we say. It's what we believe in our heart and then confess with our mouth. The Lord Jesus, then we are saved. And you know what we do? We make this a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Because we come here, and when we are inconvenienced in any way, I know I'm past noon, and some of you are like, I had dinner plans. Pastor just messed them all up. I'm going to get to the restaurant. No, I'm going to have to sit and wait. You know, when I got my coffee, there were some grounds on the bottom of it. Whoever made the coffee, they made a mistake. Ooh, you wait till I talk to them this week. My flavored donut hole was gone. I don't know who ate the last one with the sprinkles on it, but so help me if I find out. You know, they didn't sing the song I like this morning, about the name of Jesus. I wish they'd sing something that I like. You know, I wish the choir, they do a reprise at the end, and then they want an encore. You know what we do? It's all about our attitude. We make this a den of thieves. Because in a house of prayer, all you can do is submit. And what we can do is we can take the meekness that our Savior shows, his power under control, and what little tiny bits of power we have, when we can complain, maybe even when it's legitimate, and we can just say, I'm not going to do it. I will surrender. I will lay myself down. Because it's all about him. It's not about me. You want to be salty? Make your entire life about Jesus. And not about yourself. I don't want to be like the people in Jerusalem. I don't want Sunday just to be the day where we say, oh, save. I want for us to have an authentic faith. I want this to be a house of prayer. I want for us to be the real deal. And you know what happens when it's the real deal? People look at us and they see meekness. And they see power under control. And they're like, you know, you could have lashed out when that happened to you. Oh, I'm trying to please my Savior. You had every right to be mad and to be upset, and I can't believe you acted like that. You were like so gracious. You showed mercy. What kind of nut are you? You know what we're doing in that moment? We're being like our Jesus. Meek. Power under control. God help us. We're going to close the service in just a second with a song. But I just want to encourage you. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know what it's like to have that kind of power that God puts inside of us under control. Because that's what he does. And this morning, what he wants to do with you is he wants you to just believe in your heart exactly what Katie showed us in the baptism. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried because he died. He was really dead. And he came back to life to give us victory over our sin so that we could live forever in heaven with him. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. If you have trusted Christ, and maybe your relationship here with God, it's become a den of thieves. And maybe you say, oh, save with your mouth, but man, what's going on inside here? It's not authentic, it's not real. You got something else going on. Today's the day where God says, yeah, I remember 2,000 plus years ago when people were crying on Palm Sunday, oh, save, oh, save. And what he wanted then is the same he wants today. It's just for you to say, God, I want to be authentic with you. I want to be real with you. And if you want to, he wants that too. And you can have that this morning. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we close out the service, I pray that your spirit would be strong in each one of our lives, that it would be greater than our own strength. And Lord, that we would listen to you. I thank you that you save. I thank you that you are the meek one. You are power under control, and you were that so that we could receive eternal life. And so, God, I pray that as we end this service, that if there's anybody here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that right now, in the quietness of this moment, they will pray to you and they will say, dear God, forgive me for my sin. I need you to forgive me and to save me. Please, Lord, come into my life and give me a new direction with my life. Be my master. And Lord, if any will do that, if they believe it in their heart, and then, Lord, they confess it with their mouth, you promise that you will save. God, help us as we close out this service to be people who truly love your name, the name of Jesus, the one who saves, the one who is meek, and help us to take on the attributes of meekness. Help us to love you with everything that we are because you are lovable. And we only can love because you first loved us. Just bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, maybe while I was praying, or maybe you want to talk to somebody about that, I'm going to be standing up here at the front. Love to connect you with someone to talk to you about that. Or if God has spoken to your heart and you're like excited. You're like, man, I've been living, oh, save Jesus. Then be excited this morning. And if you're not, come up here, confess it. God will forgive you. You know what? You have next week. You're going to move on. You're going to please your Lord with your life. And you'll live the oh save rather than just speaking the oh save. So let's stand together as we sing this song. I am.
mountains shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. 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 Hallelujah. Holy, holy. God Almighty. The great I Am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty. The great I Am. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. The great I Am. The great I Am. The great I Am. The great I Am.
Father, thank you for your plan. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given to me, out of all people, you've given to me eternal life. I will never perish. No one can take me out of your hand. You who gave me to the Father am greater than all, and nobody can take me out of your hand. So, Lord, to you, we lift up praise and say thank you for being the Almighty Holy God who was and is to come. So to the Lamb who was slain, be all the power, glory, and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, the Lord bless you. Don't forget about Good Friday service at 7 p.m. Please the Lord this week.